Coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg here. You know, this could be the one thing that saves our sport. I'm talking about getting corporate sponsorships. And right now, no one is doing it better than who else? Meadowlands and their corporate sponsorship sales team, headed by today's guest. Now, you may have read where, under his guidance, corporate sponsorship for all the Meadowlands properties, Big M, Vernon, Tioga, and their OTB outlet, surpassed $1 million. Now, before Jason Hall came on the scene, those numbers weren't even close. Jason, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Well, nice to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you with us because I feel the rest of us could learn a lesson from you, especially those of us here in Ontario. You do not come from a harness racing background, which may be the single most important factor here because you worked in minor league baseball, right?
Yes, sir. Yep, I worked 10 years in minor league baseball selling sponsorships there.
And that, you know, despite the fact that it's a national pastime in the States and very popular in Canada, it can still be a tough sell, can't it?
It is. It is. You know, we always said if you take out the, and it's similar to harness racing, that if you took out the, and just left the true baseball fans, you'd close up.
Yeah.
So we had to figure out new ways to get people in, giveaways, you know, that type of stuff, and sponsorships.
Tell us about how you managed to blend the two of them together in baseball, and then I want to switch it over to harness racing.
Well, you know, with the baseball, you know, we turned it more into family entertainment, which is kind of what we've started doing with Tioga, Vernon, and the Meadowlands is, mm-hmm. you know, giveaways, you know, having promotions that drew families in, and cheaper food pricing, and it worked in the baseball world, which it seems to be working so far at our harness track.
Now, you've done well at that. You get called in to do this gig 3 years ago. You walk into the office. You know you're facing a sport that is, let's face it, as much as we love it here, in decline. You had to come up with a mammoth job in front of you. What was step one when you walked into the office?
It was tough. You're right. You know, it was something different that I wasn't used to. But my first thing was to take a list of all the vendors that we used, you know, whether it be food and beverage, electric, stuff like that, get a whole list of them and contact those people that we spent money with and said, you know, look, this is what we want to do, a partnership with you, not a one-way street. We want to do both ways. And that started out, I mean, that really started the ball rolling really well.
That makes, you know, perfect sense, and you wish more tracks would do it. So that was your natural market. Now, what kind of sponsorship packages were you able to offer them? Did it come in the way of, say, you know, a table in the clubhouse plus a race named after them or billboard signage? How did it all come together?
We do a lot of, we do track signage, which is on the, you know, on the mm-hmm. the track fence right before, you know, between the apron and the track.
Sure.
We do signage there. We do billboards at Tioga and Vernon in the Meadowlands. We started building, just like at a NASCAR track or a baseball stadium, we started building those billboards, program ads. We do commercial spots, you know, that run both in-house and simulcast.
Right.
That's our most popular bread and butter, those three things.
Well, that's where your national ads come from. I mean, the breweries and so on, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they got, you know, even the local companies, you know, the local companies have signs. So we don't outprice it. It's not crazy price,
mm-hmm.
But it's reasonable, and it gets them out in front of people.
How did you get to those national sponsors? Was it through an ad agency or their ad agency? And if so, how did you approach them?
Well, and that's where I'm a little fortunate, where I've done it in the baseball world. You know, I have, when I came in to Tioga and Vernon, I had about 4,000 contacts.
Wow.
So that helped me tremendously. And a lot of, you know, sponsorship sales, what I found out over the years was a lot of people buy you. They don't buy, they're not necessarily buying the product. They're believing, they believe in you, and they're buying you, that you're going to follow through and tell people and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of those people, you know, they didn't necessarily follow me. They still do the baseball, but they came with me and done the tracks also.
It's something I've always said, and I've sold everything from, you know, harness racing to life insurance, and if you can sell that, you can sell anything. people buy from people is essentially what you're saying.
Yes. Now, and it's relationship, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's all about relationships. So were you able to quantify it in any way? Were you able to say to these people, look, our simulcast signal goes out to X number of people? How were you able to quantify it?
Yeah, I mean, I had to get numbers, you know. I mean, the two tracks in New York, you know, they had the casinos. So that was a little bit easier because, you know, we have the counters at the doors that
right.
come through. So those numbers, you know, I could provide pretty easy. And you know, the national companies, I mean, fortunately, again, back to the relationships, a lot of local companies don't ask for that. They don't really ask for the numbers.
No.
National companies, on the other hand, they want to see numbers, right. demographics. You know,
so what did you do in the case? What you do in the case of Meadowlands, which I don't believe charges admission, do they, or doesn't have a turnstile?
They have turnstiles at the Meadowlands.
They do. Okay.
Yeah. So again, this one's a little bit easier.
I see.
And we've done, you know, we've changed it up at all three tracks where we kind of keep demographics. We get people to sign up, and you know, we have at least a little bit of demographics to pass on to the national companies.
But you're right, it all comes down to relationships, and isn't it interesting that the vendors don't really care whether or not you have a background in harness racing? It all comes down to the person, doesn't it?
It does. The only part that I found a little bit difficult, which I've improved on, is the industry sponsors.
Okay.
Because they want you to know, you know, what horse is what, this horse ran this weekend,
right.
Which I picked up on. But because there's a lot of industry sponsors that are out there, you know, that are, and I'm finding that the Meadowlands, a lot of industry sponsors.
Would you say that they've been underutilized, would you say?
I think so. I think just because, you know, again, I mean, I don't know all the tracks, but I think, you know, from what the research I've done, there's not a ton of tracks that offer sponsorship.
Right.
And again, I mean, you got to have the right person selling it too. I mean, it, you know, mm-hmm. that plays key. But I think harness racing in general is no different than minor league sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we should be able to do the same amount of sponsorship as those guys do.
Well, tell your boss Jason Settlemore to give you a raise, because I got a feeling that after this article appeared on many of the harness websites, you're going to get a lot of job offers, my friend. Certainly, congratulations on the great job, and it offers hope to the rest of us. Thanks so much for being on Trot Radio.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.